Welcome to the Abracadam Podcast, and I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician Danny Whitson. This episode is a special one, I feel like. This is something I've been wanting to do for a while. It's UFOs. And believe it or not, I had a hard time finding someone to talk to me about UFOs. For some reason, I reached out to MUFON of Tennessee, some other MUFON organizations, and didn't get any response. And I was able to reach out to Ryan Stacey of TESA. And Ryan is out of Canada. And I'll be honest, at first I was a little reluctant because of these kind of things. I wasn't sure if I believed in these kind of things or if I was completely on board with everything that even Ryan is involved with. And the more I got to talk to Ryan, the more I realized 100% that he is a rational person. He approaches UFOs and the paranormal with a scientific, rational approach. He is a private investigator. So he's definitely not a crackpot. He's definitely a professional and approaches these things the way they probably should be studied. Now, I don't know. I mean, I used not to believe in UFOs 100%. I was a skeptic. But now my mind is starting to shift. It is I don't know. I mean, I've seen some information with a lot of things that are coming out now. It's kind of hard to not believe. There's definitely something flying around, something going on. It's weird. I tell you what, I was thinking this the other day. Do you ever wonder if aliens think they might see us on their planet? Like somebody's like, dude, I swear to God, I just saw a Toyota Prius. Swear to God, just saw a Prius, man. I don't know, man. That'd be weird. But anyways, let's talk about our sponsors for this episode. I don't know about you guys, but I'm really looking forward to get some new tattoos. Some new ink therapy, baby. I need some. And I couldn't think of any other better place to go than Rosie Tattoos. Yes, this episode is also brought to you by Rosie Tattoos. Custom tattoos designed to suit your style in a friendly and clean environment. Now, let me just say, Rosie has been doing my tattoos for years. She's done all my tattoos. My sleeve was done by Rosie. People ask me all the time. They stop me and say, hey, I love your stuff. Where'd you get it done? Well, I got it done at Rosie Tattoos. Rosie offers free consultations online by Facebook Messenger, Instagram, or by email. They will sit down, talk to you about what it is you want to do, and make sure they get it perfect. Rosie Tattoos is located at 5710 Kingston Pike, Knoxville, Tennessee. Give Rosie a call at 865-281-3451. Send her an email at rosietattoos@yahoo.com. And be sure to check out her website at rosietattoos.com. Make an appointment. Get you some ink work done. You know you want to. And I tell you, once you do, working with Rosie, you definitely won't regret it. Rosie Tattoos. All right. Now, if you're the kind of guy that cuts his own hair, that's not a good life choice, man. It's not. The kind of guy that cuts his own hair is the same guy that will try to represent himself in court. And we've all seen that guy try to represent himself in court, and we just know that guy's going to jail. So same thing with cutting your own hair. Don't cut your own hair. You'll go to jail. Okay, so that brings us to today's sponsor, the Grove Barbershop, located at 98 Randolph Road, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Owner and operator Jeff Hackler is one heck of a barber, folks. He's been cutting my hair for years, and you ain't never seen my hair look bad now, have you? No, you have not. Now, make an appointment with Jeff is super easy. All you have to do is go to grovebarbershop.com. You pick your time, pick your date, and then all you got to do is just show up. Yes, there's no wait, no line. It's just you and Jeff. Everything is clean. You get in there, he'll hook you up with a nice haircut, and then you're back on your feet. There you go.
and you don't have to worry about going to jail. Be sure to check Grove Barbershop out at 98 Randolph Road, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Give them a call at 865-482-2210, and definitely check them out at the website at thegrovebarbershop.com.
Okay, well, now we're going to get right into this because this was a pretty lengthy interview. We touched on some really interesting topics. Like I said, Ryan is a very interesting guy. So sit back and relax, and let's see if the truth is out there, my abracadamits, with Ryan Stacy of Tessa.
Okay, we are here with Ryan Stacy. He's a UFO, I guess, private investigator. Ryan, if you will, let my listeners know who you are.
Hello. Well, thank you for bringing me on here. So I actually am a licensed private investigator. I own and operate my own private investigating firm. We have a detachment within our company called the Experiencer Support Association. And what we do in there is we actually investigate paranormal, UFO, cryptids, and orbs, consciousness. We investigate pretty well anything under the hat of that. On top of that, I am a citizen journalist. And many things.
Now you're in Canada right now, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so I mean, now people view UFOs and kind of the paranormal kind of stuff. You know, it's not so much accepted in the United States. Is it any different in Canada?
Are you talking about both or?
Well, UFOs, I mean, well, maybe is one more accepted than the other or?
Well, here's the thing that I'm actually currently working on right now. I've noticed that there's American ufology. So everybody knows the stories within America, and there's very little information that has made the mainstream media about Canada. And I've been doing a lot of research to find out why. And it seems to be, at least in my research, it appears that even the Canadian fellows that are involved are more interested in the American ufology disclosure movement, which I'm not quite sure at this point as to why. Maybe because it's easier, or more information is available. But most people don't realize that Canada actually has a secret project, and it was called Project Magnet, which then moved to Project Second Story. And they're only a year and a half difference between the timeline of Project Blue Book in America. So I'm currently digging into the timeline of those events to find out why that stopped. And then all of a sudden it became American ufology, because for some reason, Canada just got the short end of the straw, and I don't know why yet.
Now, so does Canada have its own Roswell story?
We have significant events. We do have Falcon Lake. We do have Shag Harbor. I don't have the dates in front of me. I apologize for that. Those are two significant events. Canada actually has minted some coins on some of our UFO events as well. Canada actually has an open database that you could search and request information on UFOs. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me, because they're very open and they're very transparent, but yet no one's pushing for disclosure here in Canada. I've met so many people that are Canadian that are pushing for disclosure, but through America. That doesn't make sense to me. Does that sound weird to you?
That doesn't make sense to me either. Why not right there in Canada? Why don't you just let the Canadian government?
I don't know. So that's currently like the path that I'm on right now is I've pulled all this information. I've asked that question. I've interviewed everybody who's involved currently that is Canadian. They just said they're not interested in it. And that doesn't make sense to me how a Canadian wouldn't be interested in Canadian ufology. So either it doesn't exist or something's being covered up, and that's all. Then that gets into the mix of everything. And, And then we could get into the fact that, you know, who actually owns Canada? You know, is it the Queen or is it USA, right? So we,
That's a whole other debate. That's a whole new episode.
Right, but it could be connected. It could be part of that mix of, you know, who owns what.
Now, how does somebody get interested into, well, I guess first private investigating and UFOs? No, I mean, not your average person, because I think everybody has some type of interest in UFOs or the paranormal, but to the limit that you have, you're doing it to the level that you're doing it.
So I have an interesting story. So my interest actually started, I was actually hired by a private client who believed her son was abducted by aliens. Excuse me. And this was before I even knew any of the stuff that I know today. So I basically, I followed that lead and ended up finding that her son had joined Scientology in Toronto. So he didn't go missing. He wasn't abducted with aliens and anything like that, but she had associated the fact that he just disappeared and he vanished and didn't tell her. And then, you know, Scientology, you know, whatever your beliefs are on and all that, the conspiracies and stuff around that, I can see how at the time that she made these, so, you know, it didn't really help much. So after that, I started to, you know, follow in the links and stuff. I started to look into the phenomenon to see if it was possible, if other people were doing that. And then I ended up finding someone complaining about a fraud. So they purchased a manual from the Mutual UFO Network. And I guess they didn't get the manual and they were talking about a fraud. So it was actually a crime that I was looking into. I was really like, okay, well, this is a theft. This is not right. I can help you. So I looked into it a little further and I ended up I contacted MUFON USA and then I got directed to MUFON Canada, which I didn't even know MUFON USA had a MUFON Canada chapter. I talked to a lovely man named Stu Bundy, and I asked him about, you know, about the potential issue and the mishap. I identified myself as a private investigator, and he said, "Oh no, we'll take care of that," blah blah blah. And then he realized I was an investigator, and then we talked UFOs, we talked ghosts, we talked everything. The next, you know, he talked me into buying the manual. So I bought the manual because I wanted to investigate a bunch of stuff in between, you know, because I investigate everything all day, every day. And I eventually just fell into it. I got my first case working for MUFON Canada. And it was supposed to be a historical case. Using my skills, I was able to dig deeper and I end up linking what was originally described as a sighting of a star or something in the sky. But after talking to the witness, interviewing the witness, doing things the way that I do things, I was able to learn that there was two witnesses missing time. Entities actually seen all at the same thing. So I really dove into that. That was my first case for MUFON. That blew up and got published in the MUFON Journal. A few months after that, I got promoted from field investigator to chief investigator for Ontario. A few months after that, I was provincial director for Ontario. And then I was promoted to assistant chief investigator for Canada. Then I was promoted to national to be the director of field investigator training. So I was responsible for training all the field investigators from MUFON. And then I stepped down from that, went back into focused on Canada. And then I was promoted to the national chief investigator for the entire country of Canada. And all that sounds great. But then I got whiff of some stuff along the way that I challenged, and when I revealed that, they kicked me out. So As soon as I'm giving you a call, I'm giving you like,
man,
a
you're
quick,
like
quick rundown version here. So then,
you're like a John Rambo of UFO research. You're
hey, I've been called worse actually. So thanks for that.
Well, John Rambo, that's a compliment, bro. That's a compliment.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you. Well, so, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, let me back up just a little bit. So I mean, this is kind of like, this is leading up all the way up to where you're with the thing you're doing right now.
That's correct.
And I definitely want to get into whatever it is you discovered that if you don't mind talking about, I would love for you to talk about that. But I also love the fact that it doesn't seem like you're afraid to turn over the truth. You're like, you know, he wasn't abducted. He was hanging out with Tom Cruise, you know? You know, it was a star. And the other thing that gets me, one thing that gets me about alien abductions or even with paranormal anything is if there's more than one sighting, more than one person describing the same thing, that's where it's hard to deny. And now I, for one, you know, you can hallucinate, people can hallucinate and see things that aren't actually really there. Hell, in some ways, reality is just a big hallucination. So, yeah. But whenever two people are seeing the same exact same thing, it's hard to, you know, dismiss that.
Yeah.
But no, I got to say, with your research, what you just described right there, to me, I admire that you're saying it could be this or it could be that. Well, okay, go ahead. I'll quit yapping.
No, it's okay. I'm just, I appreciate that too. So the stuff that I had an issue with was the fact that MUFON is nuts and bolts UFO. And that there's nothing wrong with that. That's how they started. That's their mission. That was their model from the get-go. But the thing is over the last 50 years, it created such a global movement that everybody was reporting to them. So that included paranormal cryptids, orbs, consciousness, all these things that they're starting to accept now, but they rejected. So the troubling thing that I had was the national response to receiving a paranormal report was to delete it, not respond to the witness, not do anything, not add the data, just wasn't anything that they were interested in. So I started to have this, I had a problem with that because I could see some parallels between the paranormal phenomenon and the alien phenomenon, mainly with abductions. You know, the descriptions of shadow figures and the descriptions of entities, you know, it doesn't matter what they look like. The fact is that these people are being kidnapped. They're taken. It could be a human being, but there's reports and there's trauma associated with these events, but they have no regard into doing that. So, you know, I started to take these paranormal cases off the side and investigated them outside of MUFON because I wasn't able to delete those. I couldn't just, you know, give up on and let the people who are just sitting there waiting for the cases. So I ended up doing that for a long enough time that when I eventually got into national to be the director of training, I talked about it as if it was common stuff because I've been doing it in Canada because they allowed me to do it in Canada because we run a little bit different. Then I had this like the big ass debate about, you know, whether or not the paranormal should be in there. And then I opened the manual and told them, well, the manual actually says paranormal in it. And by definition, UFOs are paranormal because it's something that we cannot explain. It's above normal. So you guys are, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. And then it got to the point, then the argument came out as well, we can't make fucking money. Sorry, I don't know if we can swear on this.
Oh yeah, you can. Go ahead.
Okay. We can't make fucking money off of ghosts. So at that point is when I started to realize, okay, you guys are doing this for the money. Now I understand business. I'm a business owner. I all this other stuff. We need to make money to pay for these expenses, but not at the expense of somebody who's a victim to an event. Whether we believe it or not, it doesn't matter because the trauma that's associated with it. And that's how I'm involved with the people is because I study the people.
Well, no, that, okay. I'm 100% on board with you with that. Okay. And, I had back, it wasn't this last summer, summer before last, they had the Alien Expo in Knoxville, Tennessee. And me and my wife and my daughter went to it and it was fun. It was interesting to get to see and hear stories from some of these people. Some of them, I was like, wow, I might be on board with this. And then there were some that I'm like, 100%, I'm not on board with this. I remember one guy in particular, I can't remember his name, but I remember he was selling a book and I think he was an astronaut, but he didn't actually go to space. I don't know how that works. He was like somebody's cousin that got to wear the suit. I don't know. But he got so mad because I was wearing a NASA shirt and he was like, hey, you know what NASA stands for, don't you? Never a straight answer. I mean, you know, he had it all figured out, but now let's talk about, because you said this, and this is my opinion about this guy.
Yeah, no
is Travis Walton. Okay. He's like the Michael Jordan of alien abductees. And I've seen the movie Fire in the Sky. And I've listened to Travis tell a story. Now, I'm not 100% on board with Travis Walton's story. And to hear him tell the story, now keep in mind that he's had, 30, 40 years to perfect this act. Now, I'm an entertainer, you know. So I know if you've got something, you know, you work on something, you tell that joke enough many times, or you do that magic trick enough times, you're going to be able to do it in your sleep. So Travis can tell that story now blindfolded with hot dogs in his ears. You know, he can tell the story. Now I'm like, you know, but to hear him tell it, I'm like, damn, you know, he described seeing that alien's eyes and how it made him feel. And I'm like, well, maybe this, did he really feel that? But then also on the flip side, this guy's getting paid a big old fat chunk to come lecture to us. And his story is famous. So he's making, it's gotta be a good income for him.
So that's the divide. That's the challenge that we have today in the entire industry. So I believe I've met Travis. I was involved in creating an expo here in Canada called the Alien Cosmic Expo. Travis was one of our guests. You know, we pay for his hotel. We pay for have him speak. You know, it was a business engagement. There's, you know, and that's the same thing when anyone comes to speak. That's the business stuff. You come in, you share your stories. People come in and they want to meet. They want to greet. They want to meet the real deal. It's that's part of it. Now, whether the story is true or not, you know, we're not at those events. We're not really there to debunk them. We're there to listen because the story resonates with other people. Now, I believe that the event happened, and I do agree with you that maybe over years he's had time to perfect it. So so it happened in 1975, I believe, Snowflake, Arizona, and then he's just been running with it ever since. So at some point he stopped becoming a victim and he started becoming this experiencer that is actually an activist to try and encourage people that, you know, hey, it happened to me. It happens to you that I survived. There's some positive stuff to that too, but he is being paid. So, but he's being flown around the world. He's being famous. He's doing like a tour, like a band, you know, like they put on a show. Does that mean he's lying? Who knows, right? So you got to be able to believe. If you don't believe in the concept of the event in general, it doesn't matter who's on stage. You know, if you don't like the genre of music, it doesn't matter who's performing, right? So, but the thing is that I'm learning too, with this me going back and trying to figure out why Canada isn't in the picture, like back 50 years, I'm realizing that the people that are in the game today, who doesn't have a significant story like Travis Walton, they just had an event, they wrote a book, and they've been selling more books ever since on that story for many, many years, but there hasn't really been any new development. I go back, I do a Freedom of Information request, I get a document that nobody's ever seen, I post it on the internet, nobody talks about it. You know, so like I got to write it. I got to put a book out. So at some point, these people stop believing or proving something, and then they somehow get thrown into the industry and it becomes a career. They become dependent on the money because they're making too much money. And now they have to keep the story going so they can continue to get the tours and continue to be number one so they can continue to pay for their bills.
Well, okay, now we mentioned this earlier because we talked about Travis Walton and there were other people there that saw what he saw. But Travis was the only one taken in his story. Now, the other story that I believe, this other story, and I've never met these, of course, I believe they've passed away since then, but it's the first alien abduction story, I guess, recorded in the United States, and that's Barney and Betty Hill.
Yeah.
And when I first heard the story, first of all, this happened in the 1950s, I believe. And they were they're a biracial couple. And just to show you how bad racism was in the 50s, they were afraid to come out, not because of the aliens. They were afraid because of the racists.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh. But anyways, if you and I'm sure you've heard these, the hypnosis session with Barney and Betty, man, it'll make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. I mean, something happened to them. There's no doubt in my mind something happened. Or the trauma, just like you're saying, is absolutely 100% real. Mm-hmm. So I believe that, you know, I'm on board more with them.
So I have a segue that, you know, again, I'm throwing some shade out, like, so my listeners, like, that do hear this, these are things I've never really said before. But on the subject that we're currently in, this rabbit hole that we're in.
Yeah, yeah.
Betty and Barney Hill have a niece. Her name is Kathleen Marden. And she works for MUFON, and I've worked with her, and she's part of an experiential research team and all this other stuff. And she's done a lot of reputable stuff throughout her career. However, she piggybacked off of the fact that she was the niece of Barney and Betty Hill. Yeah. And that's how she was able to get to where she was. Now, whether she used that, and I'm sorry, Kathleen, I'm really sorry, but whether you use this to get to where you need to be intentionally or accidentally or however you ended up there, that doesn't negate the work that you've done. It just makes that, just the fact that that's part of your history makes it very difficult to trust everything that you've done. And that's the same for everybody else.
But maybe so I've also money driven. You think there's a possibility?
Well, who really knows? I don't want to really get into to it, but I can tell you this: as a private investigator, I am able to pull up background checks if I have reasonable grounds. I'm able to pull tax reports if I have reasonable grounds, and I'm reasonably investigating the phenomenon because I believe people are being manipulated and lied. So I have jurisdiction, I have authority under jurisdiction of Canada to pull up some stuff and receive information. And what I'm discovering, without naming names, but majority, if not all of the players in the game do not have a backstory that involves investigations. So everyone who is involved in investigating UFOs and paranormal activity have a background in business, have a background in marketing, but they don't have a background in investigations. So you know, see where I'm heading? So I have a background in investigations. I've been an investigator since day one. I'm now up to the point where I've created something new and understanding the business. But my backstory is an investigator. And because of that, everybody knows this. And I feel with the tension that I feel tension because I've reached out to everyone. Some people are being nice, but I really feel like they're just being nice because I identify who I am and they know what I am. And if they know, and if they have a past, I know it. And it's not that I want to expose it. I need to understand it because, as I said at the beginning, is I'm trying to figure out why ufology today is the mess that we have, because there are people that we get under the Experiential Support Association that don't want any credibility. They don't want any fame. They're afraid. They're scared. They're terrified. And they're willing to accept any explanation that's not a ghost, that's not an alien. But they're willing, they don't want us to tell them that, but they still think it might be because of the mainstream media. But so there's so much stuff.
What do you think about, first of all, my background, you know, as a magician, you know, magicians don't believe in anything fun. It's like we knew Santa Claus wasn't real, you know, from birth. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just that's how it is. And it's all Houdini's fault. And, but unlike most magicians, I do believe in paranormal and UFOs. And the reason why, though, is because I've had some personal experiences with paranormal. And now UFOs, I've never seen a UFO. But the story that really got me thinking was Bob Lazar. And yep. Now the difference with Bob Lazar to me is he didn't seem like he was chasing fame. He didn't seem so much like he had that type of personality. He seemed like a real introvert kind of guy. Hell, he seemed terrified. And in a lot of ways, his story has made his life hell. And pretty much everything that he said, I sounds believable to me, you know, and the way he used to work in Los Alamos and they said he didn't before, he nailed that element, you know. I mean, there's just so many things, and it's just hard to ignore Bob Lazar. And he doesn't seem like the type, though, he's trying to make a buck off of this.
No, and I don't. I do believe I've read that he does not collect any funds for it, and it's the filmmakers that were involved in it that's raised. You know, he helped tell the story for everything, and they've raised some money and stuff like that too. And I mean, we do, like, there is a business. There will never not be a business in order to do it, because the government doesn't fund it. We are private people trying to get the answers because the government isn't telling us the truth. We know that. So there's always going to be that business element. But then mainstream media, you know, fake news, like, it's all in that mixed bag. And if you really want to know the truth, I you just got to do it yourself, not for the fame. And just tell your friends, tell your neighbors. You don't need to blast it around the world, because if you believe, then you don't need someone like me to tell you that aliens exist.
I mean, and you know, that's true. And I think, but I mean, at the same time, we're glad we got people like you that really dig in and do the research on it. The thing that's, it's hard to ignore now, and this is one thing that's exciting now, and I think it's starting to make a peak about UFOs, is well, you're starting to see some credible people come out with, just like how the Navy, the U.S. Navy released the Tic Tac videos. I just read there was a professor in Harvard who believes, what was that giant cigar-shaped turd rock that passed by Earth like a couple years ago? They think it may have been UFO, you know, aliens, a possibility, an alien ship.
The Black Knight or something like that, yeah.
It was like Ua, Kumua, Kababa. I don't know what they call it. It was some type of something. But anyways, okay. And then now I'll be honest with you. The thing that the Israeli government guy came out and said, that was a little hard to get on board with. But I don't know what was going on, but apparently Trump knows about it too.
See, that's the thing is from a perspective of mine as a private investigator, let's just say an investigation in general. Okay. So even if the subject was infidelity, they want to find out if their wife was cheating on them. Okay. So you have to take the story, then you have to fact check it. And then you have to look at the fact that it may be probable. Is it probable that Donald Trump knows about aliens? Of course, if you believe that it's probable that every president has been briefed up until now. Is it probable that Israel has the information? Well, I'm sure it is. Is it probable that he's old and senile? It's possible, because there are people in that age bracket that may be doing it, right? Is it probable that he might be just confessing at the end of his life? Yes. So all these things exist in the same reality, and they never make sense because it's all been happening before. So we have to kind of wait, because he called out Trump and Trump hasn't responded. So he's never denied it, right?
I think Trump's going to, it depends on if he can figure out a way to win the election, then it'll be okay, aliens. But if he doesn't, he's going, I'm not telling you nothing.
But you know what? You know what? That's a golden ticket. If he really wants to be in, and like with the behavior traits that he displays, I am very surprised he hasn't played that card.
That's true. And I mean, you know, the thing I hate is, I'm a space geek, okay? I love everything outer space. I love that stuff. I can't wait till we actually go to Mars. I think I'm so looking forward to that stuff. And one thing, Trump has showed love to, you know, with Space Force and stuff like that. I hate that it got made fun of and bashed so bad. You know, I was like, God, man, the one cool thing that he does, oh, you know, but.
Space is hard.
Yeah. It, well, and you know what? I think every president was probably briefed except W. I don't think they told W anything. W.
But this is. Do we need to know? That's the thing.
There's always a fat chance that Joe Biden will slip up and tell us by accident during one of his speeches.
But even if they tell us the truth, are you going to believe them?
And, you know, that's the other weird thing is I think people have been conditioned to think a certain way for so long that it's hard to keep an open mind with anything. And that's where I'm at. Because there's times, you know, Ryan, I've had to step back and relook reality everywhere. Just like how I said, you know, earlier, you know, reality is basically just one big giant hallucination as it is. You know, so how do you know? And also whenever we look out in the universe, literally, we don't know nothing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the possibilities are absolutely out there. And now something that you brought up on the abduction side. Now, my wife is a diehard paranormal. She loves anything ghost, paranormal. We've went on the investigations. You know, if Antoinette sees, you know, a kite in the sky, she's like, it's a ghost, you know, or anything, you know. And I'm a little more like, well, wait a minute. I can't, come on, you know. But one thing I've always kind of struggled with when I hear people do these about where aliens are coming in their bedroom and taking them away, or you've had people report ghosts. There was a demon sitting on my chest playing, you know, checkers. And I couldn't breathe. I'm familiar with a thing called night terrors, of course, and you are too. How do we know these people just aren't experiencing night terrors?
How do we know that they're not experiencing anything in any phenomenon? Like, how do you know someone has cancer and the other person doesn't? Like, so everything is done based on their interpretation of the data that they collected. I was actually having a conversation about this with a member from our team, I think yesterday, about psychology and how I believe that psychology is the interpretation of what is going on in the mind. That's logically analytical psychology there, of trying to understand what's happening in the mind. And just because we can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't happen, because there's virtual displays. There's a whole bunch of science around the possibility of all these things happening. So that's on the spiritual side, die hard beliefs. I don't need facts in order to prove it exists. I just know. And that's good for them, but that's not good for the collective. That's not good for everyone. Then you have the diehard buffs that says, oh, you can't prove that ghost exists, so therefore they don't exist, and that's good for them. But there's got to be a mix somewhere in the middle. The conspiracy theory only lives if a part of that theory is true. And, you know, so you got to figure out what part of that, like flat earth, for an example, is it, that's a theory, but if part of it, but NASA does lie, so that is true, so therefore it blows everything else up. So I'm totally off the rails here, but how do you know what it is? You'll never know. You have to measure that event and compare and contrast that to other events and then try to see where they parallel. And once you see how they parallel, you need to document the trends and try to recreate the event or predict the event and see if it happens. And when you get to that stage, you can set up all the cameras you want to capture, you know, entities from an interdimensional place, if that's what you believe. But are you even sure that the equipment that you're using is designed to capture that? Because if the government is aware that the interdimension exists, the government has the technology to measure that. But that technology is not on the open market. So we'll never be able to actually capture the evidence that we need. So why do we still do it? Well, because of the pattern. So with TESSA, what we're able to do now, since I'm not restricted to Canada and UFOs. I'm able to connect with investigators and researchers and their science and everything from all over the place. I'm able to say, to look at my case and be like, okay, this person saw this event on this day and it looked like this. And somebody an hour later saw the same thing somewhere else. I know that these two people have never met each other. They don't even speak the same language, but the pictures, they look almost identical. So that is a phenomenon because they can't both be crazy. They both can't be the makeup, their entire lives are different. So, but they still come up and they saw the same thing. So that type of data. So if you apply that method to anything in this phenomenon, then you'll be able to hypothesize what it is. And then you have your belief. So what do you tell the person? Is it, would you, as the person who's experienced this, would you rather me tell you that yes, a demon was sitting on your chest, it's okay, go to bed? Or would you rather me scientifically tell you, you know, this is sleep paralysis, this is what happens. So you know, we don't have the proper bedside manner to deal with this right now because we don't.
You kind of went deep with that one because technically it's, which is good, which is cool, man. But you know, like, yeah, I feel better that it's a medical term in night terrors and, you know, Beelzebub.
But it also could be a demon and, you know, whatever makes you sleep at night. I can't prove it either way.
So, but that's okay. Now, you mentioned TESSA. What does TESSA stand for again?
So TESSA is the Experiencer Support Association. So that was born or birthed after my demise with MUFON, and basically coming from the fact with data and support and evidence to prove that the entire industry didn't care as much about, can't say the entire. There are some people, that soldiers like myself, that have done good service, and I thank you all for doing that. But the business people in the industry are simply re-victimizing experiencers. And I didn't like that. And I challenged it, and I came up with a model that would help them. They rejected it. Then I came up with the model, the same model, and said, here's how you can make money off of the model. They rejected it because I include myself as getting some of the money for that, but you know, that's a whole different ball game. So he basically gave them what they were looking for. They still rejected it. So TESSA was created by putting the witness or the experiencer first. And what needs to be emphasized is that I'm sitting here on a podcast after 5.5 years of work. You found me on Facebook because of a post that I put up there. We've connected. I wouldn't have put that post out. I wouldn't be here talking if it wasn't for these people coming forward and reporting. So anyone who's in this industry that's making money off of other people's stories, you know, should give some sort of gratification back to these people, because if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be able to do what you do. So there's people out there that think that. And they know that and they feel that, but the witnesses don't feel that. They feel used, they feel vulnerable, they feel misinterpreted. So Travis Walton, for an example, when I talked to Travis, he hates fire in the sky. He said that is not what happened. Hollywood took it and they made it scarier than it needed to be. The true story of Travis Walton was actually peaceful and not so scary as Hollywood had portrayed it. So they made so, but he ran with it because it's what he was told to do. So with TESSA, it starts with the report. The report comes in. I look at it. I analyze it. I try to figure out what type of phenomenon we're dealing with, because we also have this perception bias where you might call it a ghost, but somebody else might call it a demon. I remove all those identifiers. I just basically say, okay, well, we can agree that there was somebody in your room. Let's not rule out a human being, right? Let's try to figure out, you know, you know, I mean, it's not really the best example, but when I have alien abduction cases and people talk about being molested, the first person I think about is somebody else in that house. I don't think about the alien. So we can't rule all that stuff out. But once I get that, I go through it, I work with the witness, I try to get them to recreate the event, write some stuff down, and they walk through. And then at the very end, they get a report. They get a written report from me of everything that we went through. So it's a record, so they can read it and they can reflect. And then I ask them, well, do you still feel this way? And if they really do believe, well, then we do the next step, which is the recovery plan, which we then refer them to private clients that provide pseudoscience therapies, such as regression hypnotherapy, float tanks, Reiki. So all these types of on yoga, some medicine, you know, all these types of treatments that would allow the experiencer to feel comfortable because they've been through a trauma. It doesn't matter what I believe, the markers for PTSD, the markers for anxiety, the markers for depression are there. And it's very important that we deal with those. And once we deal with those, we study whether or not that remedy actually helps them. And then through that, we actually have a better understanding of the individual and we learn more about the phenomenon. Because when they come back after doing that, I already have this data, and then I compare how they view the event after they become happy again. And most of them are still nailing every single detail as if it still happened. So we've removed the pain, but they still believe the event and they still draw the same thing. And the things that they draw do not look normal. So, and in part of that, where we educate them on how to investigate themselves, how to debunk their own stuff, how to learn to deal and cope with all this other stuff. We believe every single one that makes a report to us. Our mission is not to debunk, it's to validate.
I love the way, first of all, the way you start off, you almost kind of use Occam's razor, you know, eliminate, don't assume anything that doesn't, you know, it may be a person broke into your house, you know, all these things before you jump straight into, you know, aliens.
I may not believe them that is an alien, but I do believe them that something happened.
Absolutely. That's
a whole different perspective, right? Whereas the, you know, a lot of the people I encountered with MUFON was like, oh no, it's not this, it's not this, it's that. Okay, well, show me your work.
Yeah. And that's how, you know, I need, that's how I am. You know, I need proof. Basically, if I can see something and I'm like, well, you know, I know how to make an object move, appear to move by itself. I know how to do, I can do that all day long, you know. But if I can cancel out all those other things, then it comes down to just two possible explanations. Either it's paranormal or somebody's damn good knows something that I don't know how to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's either one or the, so it becomes 50%.
But paranormal means anything that's not normal, but that's perceptive to you.
Absolutely.
What's paranormal to you might be normal to me.
Possibility. And that's why a lot of people, when they see, you know, like my background in magic, I mean, we could sit down and have a seance. I could put on a seance and people would walk out thinking, my God, I just made contact with my Aunt Betty, you know? And to me, that's just completely, there's nothing strange or paranormal about that at all, but to that person, that experience would be very real. Let me ask you this. Are you able to share a story that's not mainstream, an abductee story or anything, a sighting or anything maybe you've investigated? Are you able to do that?
Yeah, I just got to be careful to not give any identifiers. I was working a case today, so that's fresh in my mind. Where did I put it? Yeah, I'll just have to go off the cuff. Oh no, here it is. I can show you some stuff. I know your listeners won't be able to see it, but I don't know if you can really see this right now. So this picture here, this is a screenshot from a case, from an event that happened in Edmonton, Alberta. And that was on the 27th of February. So it's a screenshot from a video that actually had what appeared to be three lights connected to a singular object that were just basically moving across the sky. And this guy has a 30-second video of it. And there was a second witness. I triangulated everything. The two witnesses are in line with the trajectory of the craft or whatever it is. It could be a drone. It could be, I'm still waiting. I have to do a freedom of information quest tomorrow to find out if it popped up on radar. But so I'm still investigating that one right now. But the interesting thing is, see, this is my work. This is kind of how I figured out the height of everything. I think that's backwards on your screen. But essentially, what I was able to do was determine how far away the object was from the witness. And it was within 300 feet and 40 feet off the ground. And the object was 13 feet wide at a minimum. So the issue with this particular case is, as you can see on this this side here, sorry, I can't see my
thumb. Yeah.
So the object there's a line drawn from here to here. So in this video, there's those three dots that are in between these trees. So I was able to get the depth and the height from that tree, but I don't have any visual reference behind those trees to figure out how far into the horizon or how far back that craft or that object may be. Well, so when I say closer, if it could be closer, yeah. But here's the thing, is at a minimum, it's 13 feet long. So as close to those trees. So that is pretty large for how close it is. Now, if it was further back, that means it's larger than 13 feet, which means it could be an airplane and things like that too. So we have to figure all that other stuff out. But the interesting thing is it was last seen disappearing over an airport. And that airport, they didn't know this at the time, but that airport has been closed. And it used to be an army military base in World War
II. Interesting.
So the things link up. It doesn't mean that it's aliens. It doesn't mean that it's UFO conspiracy, but it's very, so when I do this, the facts state that the object was here and I can prove that it was this size and it went in that direction and it disappeared here. And there just so happens to be a base that is no longer in service, but then 10 kilometers on the same trajectory is Canadian Forces Base Edmonton. So that's why I said I still need to do a request to them to see if anything popped up on the radar that day and whether or not they'll give it to me. That's questionable too. But
now,
so that's the most I was working on that one for the last 2 days.
That's really interesting, man. And it's so weird that airports, like I know a little bit about just the other night I watched on YouTube about the O'Hare Airport in Chicago, the UFO sighting there, actually now I don't know much about this, and you know I would love to talk to you another time also about this as well. I don't know a lot about this, but the town that I'm in, Ryan. Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And to kind of give you a quick history, if you're not familiar, Oak Ridge didn't exist prior to World War II. This town was made for the Manhattan Project, and this is where they helped build the atomic bomb between us and Los Alamos. That's why Oak Ridge exists. So it was a mom town. You couldn't get in, you didn't get out. So, that was, during World War II. But Oak Ridge actually has a UFO sighting story. And I believe this, I'm not sure if it was the 60s or the 70s, but it's the information, the story is out there. So, which is probably pretty common, isn't it, for UFOs to be spotted around nuclear plants and places like that.
That seems to be the trend. The why is undetermined. My question for you is what do you think is piloting the craft? So it's unidentified, it's flying, it's an object, but who's the pilot?
Okay, well, this is where I go with this, okay? And one of the reasons why I used not to believe in aliens that were being visited, I'm not saying I didn't believe in aliens, but that they've actually came here, is because the science is so difficult for it to be possible. For example, you know, if we go to Mars, you know, other than the fact that, you know, the temperature and there's all these other factors and the radiation, but just look at the mass on Mars is so much less than, and the gravity is so much less than here on Earth, that if you spend a long period of time on Mars, your heart's going to grow weaker. And whenever you come back to Earth, you would drop dead from a heart attack. So I think there's so many, and then you throw in the distance and the time for another life form to come here. There's just so many things that would have to overcome. Mm-hmm. So I think then I've went to the thought, I'm like, well, I clearly know something's in the sky because people are catching video and it's been going on for so long. Why would they not use AI the same way we use AI or send robots or something like we've seen in the movies? That's if it's aliens. Okay. Yeah. That's what I've kind of bounced around. Now, what if it's us? What if it's, this is another theory I threw out, and I've even, and you know, of course, you know, there's no way of proving this, but I said this years and years ago. I said, what if UFOs were actually us from the future? And I know, and people want to say that can sound crazy, but this is what I'll say. I can back that up with a couple things that I know exist. A, human beings, I know they exist. B, technology, I know that exists. And what is the nature of human beings? If you want to tell a human being he can't do something or she can't do something, and they'll figure out a damn way to do it. That's what we do. It's in our nature. So that's another possibility. There's so many things that I keep my mind open on. And I know I kind of went in a crazy.
Everything is possible. See, what people don't focus on is the why. The how doesn't matter because they won't tell us. It's government secret. Even if the government were to tell us, it'd be a high risk because they don't want the other governments to know that they have it in case we go to war. So even if they have alien craft, the whole world would have to be in on it. To talk about it, because they would have to be like, you know, make a bad American joke, but Canada comes out and says, hey, we got a UFO, you know, Trump will come out and say, well, ours is bigger, you know? So, you know, like the tanks, you know, like, you know, we would have that huge thing. So, totally lost my train of thought there, but like, I got super excited. Where was I going with that?
Well, talking about the why or...
Oh, yeah, the why.
Yeah.
Right? So let's assume that based on your logic, that all those things are true. Those not just not logically true. Those are true. But based on that reasoning, that many years in the future, a decision is made for humans to come back to now and appear... Why are they doing that? And once we understand the why, we might be able to accept.
And I mean, I've always, you know, I've always thought of it like, you know, they screwed up. Somebody's getting chewed out right now in the year 3074, you know, for the whole Roswell thing. Or who knows? I mean, it's just an interesting possibility that might be,
but there's many ways to travel too. There's not just through time, there's through dimensions. So maybe they're not coming, like you said, like I always thought that too. Like if they have the technology to travel from the vastness of space to here, why would they forget to turn off their cloaking mechanism?
Absolutely.
You know, so that might be a piece of technology that we don't have, and what we're seeing are crafts that we've been manipulating from the crashes or however that works out, but we haven't been able to figure out that level yet. So that I'm likely to believe that those crafts are more military experimentations than the actual beings from other planets, because if they wanted to be known, they would be known. unless they're traveling interdimensionally instead of from time or from another space through space or through the planet portals and all that other fun jazz. And then again, why?
That's something I believe in too, by the way. I do believe in the different dimensions. For one, you know, physics and quantum physics, string theory, a lot of stuff like that will back that up. So there's science to back that up. So I am a big believer in that.
Consciousness is a big thing now too.
What's that?
The study into consciousness is big too. Human initiated contact, which is, the concept of willingly putting that thought out into the collective universe and getting an immediate response from an intelligent being, you know, but the question that I have with that is, like, I know that the belief is you're connecting with an ET out there, but how do you know you're not connecting? Like, let's look at remote viewing. You know, how do you know you're not just connecting with another human? Maybe we have the ability to communicate with each other through telepathy and all these other things. But now we're in MK Ultra, man. We're all over the map here.
This is going down. You know, this is like the highest I've ever been, not high. So let's do this because we have went everywhere. This is really interesting. Just recently in the news, there was a UFO sighting in Hawaii, and you actually interviewed one of the eyewitnesses.
So I received a report from one of the eyewitnesses. So I took it upon myself to look at the Twitter feed and the Facebook feed, and I found the name of the original witness. I reached out, private message, introduced myself. Hey, I'm a private investigator. Here's my website. Don't worry, I don't work for the government. I work for the people. I'm interested in reviewing your original video. She got back to me right away. I sent her to Tessa, where a reporting system is. And I just said, I need you to fill out this report because that gives me the context of everything that's happening. And I get to analyze the real video. So I'm still waiting to see. I got the Facebook feed video that everybody else is seeing, but I'm waiting to get the original video. And once I get the original video, I'll be able to put a pin in the map to find out exactly where this had happened, because mainstream has blown it up. Everyone's sharing it. Everyone's putting opinions on there. But what's interesting is I have the report in front of me, which I actually haven't read yet. I'll scan through if that's okay. And I'll be a little slower because I want to make sure I don't give any identifiers out, but this is the stuff that wouldn't be in the video. It also wouldn't be in the news. So, the exact address, according to this, would be 87-40s. Halekala Avenue and Farrington Highway, which is in Waianae, Hawaii, USA. So there's the exact address of where she was videotaping.
In the hood, somewhere in Hawaii. In the hood.
I guess somewhere. May 26th, so it lasted 10 minutes. She felt positive about the event. She has digital evidence, which is that video. She has categorized it herself as area phenomenon. And then the secondary question in her report is, what do you believe is the explanation for that area phenomenon? And she chose to identify it as extraterrestrial technology. So she believes that it's ET. So that's another thing in our reporting system. We ask you the type without the label, and then we ask you to interpret it. And we learned something about that too. So she thinks it's extraterrestrial. That doesn't mean it is extraterrestrial. It's just important to understand the type of person that's making this report, because we identified the belief, right? So she said, when I noticed the blue object, it was going straight up over the mountains. As the object got higher, it looked as if it started to curve like the Earth's curvature. I watched it till it was out of my sight. I recorded on Facebook Live, and one of my viewers was my cousin's wife. She told me she saw it land in the ocean at Molly Point. So there's another identifier. So for those of you following the story that hasn't been released yet, that's where it is. I'll meet you there because I'm investigating this tomorrow. Oh, wait, this is pre-recorded, right?
Yes, sir.
I'll have it done before it airs.
So you're going there?
Well, no, I'm not going to go. Well, I mean, virtually, I'm gonna do my work. There's lots of ways to put me. Once I get the data stuff, I can be there virtually. I don't want to give up some trade secrets because I want you to use me, but there's a way that I can be there. So what's interesting about this too is she recorded, we don't only have a video that's third generation passed up and all this other stuff. This video was recorded live. So she did a live video. People are watching it as it happened. So that was kind of neat. I've never seen that before. Usually people are recording it and then they save it and they send it later. But to actually just go, hey, live, and hey, check this out, check this out. So she's with her kids. Her kid is a secondary witness. I don't know how old the kid is, but still a witness. And the requested service from us is to give her some answers because the news just told the story as it was, but she didn't get anything from it. So that's because the police are probably still investigating, right, if the police were involved. An ongoing investigation, and she says that the blue object did not make a sound, and it was only noticeable if you were looking into the sky. It has not affected me in a negative way. And that's all the data that I have on the just on the initial report. So of course I'll get more information as I talk to her, but that's the invitation to have that conversation. And once I get the original video, I'll be able to pull out some data there, put myself there and look at the other videos and kind of triangulate where it would be. Now, having a sighting in the sky is one thing, but a witness claims that it dunked into the water. So before I give my analysis, what do you think of it? What do you think it is?
You know, at first I thought maybe it was a possibility it was somebody flying a drone. That's something that I always had to consider. From what I saw in the video, it was kind of really oddly shaped. But keep in mind, that doesn't mean it still can't be a drone. It didn't seem like it was.
I'm not buying the drone because of the shape, because it looks kind of, it's blue and it's going vertically and it's moving up. So it's kind of like a wavy, a drone wouldn't, I mean, it looked like that in the live video. So it's not a motion blur.
Yeah.
It's not like the camera had moved. You could see the streak in the video.
Could it have been some type of a Chinese lantern type of thing?
A Chinese lantern would be red because of the fire and the flame.
True. And this was blue.
This was blue, and that's the thing. There is a theory out there. I saw something that someone else had posted. I don't know if it's in the area, but it's a good. There's what appears to be glow in the dark or LED lit hang gliding. So if the hang glider was having was blue, and it was moving, but that doesn't make sense because the object moved up. So if it was gliding, it wouldn't be moving up.
It wouldn't be moving up. And then, poor Baxter crashed into
it dunked into the water. I mean, it really, it's hard to tell. I'd have to really analyze the video, because if there's smoke attached to the drone, you could have blue smoke. There's special effects. There's a whole bunch of things that drones can do. I have a drone specialist on our team, so I would be definitely asking him when I get the original video.
You come equipped, brother. You've got the corners covered.
That's the thing, is we have to work with the team. I can only get so far. My role is to take the data and help you provide the best possible piece of evidence, because my background is criminology, sociology, and evidence retrieval. So I need to make sure that before I do any work, that I have the best piece of evidence. So if it's like a third generation video, it's not worth my time. But you don't have it, I will help you get the original video and work with the witness. And once we have the video, I'm able to do that. Okay, this checks, this is ruled out. It's not this because of this. It's not this because of that. It's not this because of that. Okay, I've done all the checks. I don't know what's left to do. And then I think it might be a drone. So here's my specialist. Is it a drone? So for an example, the case that I was reading earlier, the one I was working on in Edmonton, I had passed that off to him and asked if it was a drone. I got the answer I was hoping I wouldn't get. And that was, he doesn't think it's a drone. So that means I got to do more work to try and figure out if it was an airplane or something else, but I was hoping he would say it was a drone. Same thing when we get into cryptozoologist. I have Alex Mistretta. He's our resident cryptozoologist. So if I get a case like that, I'll have him provide some feedback. Another guy on our team, Tim Morrison, he's our demonologist. So if I have a demon involved, once I get all the details of the event and recreate the event to fully, like, crime scene it, right? And present it to them and be like, okay, you believe in this, you know, sell me on it. Like, try to explain it to me so I'm convinced. And then we have these conversations where it's like, well, okay, that's great, but where's the data? Where's the link, or where's the supporting evidence in your world that supports this theory to be possible? So we have these nice, good round table debates about the evidence.
And then I still don't know what... That's a smart way to approach, you know, like I said,
it's science.
Got, yeah, exactly. It's science. That's a scientific way.
And if you're listening to that, you guys do not do this. And you claim to be scientists.
Yeah.
We're recruiting, by the way.
Now, okay, so well, let me ask you this, because yeah, I mean, you do work in all those fields. I believe in ghosts, or I believe in something, you know, something from the afterlife or another dimension or something. I believe in that. I've had my own experiences. I'm open to UFOs, and I'm open to aliens. I'm 100% open to it, because I've, you know, seen some interesting thing. I've never had an experience, but I'm open to that. Don't believe in Bigfoot, but, you know, I mean, I guess there's a possibility, but I'm just not big on the Bigfoot thing. But now let me ask you this.
Like Bigfoot in general, or Bigfoot being like a UFO alien type guy? Because like Alex, like our Bigfoot, he's a Bigfoot specialist, and he doesn't believe in the paranormal spectrum of Bigfoot, but he does believe that Bigfoot exists as a primate, like, or as a species.
Yeah, I'm not sold on it, man. I mean, no? You know, I even do a bit in my show about Bigfoot. You know, in Helen, Georgia, brother, there's a museum that's got like Bigfoot turd in it. You know, so either it's two things. I'm going back to the way I rationalize things. This is two things. Either A, that's proof that Bigfoot exists, or B, some guy named Doug has pulled off the greatest prank of all time.
And he's making money off of it.
He took a crap in the woods and he's like, Bigfoot, not me.
Well, he was late for work that day. He needed a story.
But now you mentioned the truth. So
well, my version of
your version of
version of what I believe to be the truth. It wouldn't be the truth.
Can you share what you believe is the truth?
In my experience with everything that I've investigated, I've cleared over 1,000 cases in my career. I think I'm up to 1,100 now. I've been keeping count. And I know absolutely nothing about UFOs or ghosts, but I know a hell of a lot about the people that are affected by it. So whether it's a mental health issue, whether it's a chemical imbalance, you know, alcohol, trauma, all this other stuff, my analysis of the truth is that the world collectively is suffering. And either they are being re-victimized or deliberately attacked by government or unforeseen entities, or they're using the possibility of there being life out there as a hope or a beacon of light to remind themselves that there's something better out there so they can continue living. So there's the actual truth behind alien abductions is horrifying. I've done a couple podcasts where they're like, tell me your favorite abduction case. I was like, I don't have any favorites because they're horrible. Someone's been taken from their room in the middle of their night and they're horrified for the rest of their lives. I'm not going to talk about that. Right? So, however, I do have experience with technology that doesn't seem to exist based on our level of known understanding. They don't fit characteristics. So maybe the government has technology that they haven't divulged yet. So I accept that. I don't know. I'm still investigating. I believe that there is a power or some sort of divine intervention somewhere in the mix of it. I believe that the answer is probably inside. I think we are the key, and we just so want to believe that there's something else out there so we could, I guess, attach ourselves to it. It's easier. It's just an easier way to, I mean, there's a confidence building thing. We as a race have a self-esteem issue, and it's a real easy thing to bind to. I know I'm getting pretty deep on this, but that doesn't mean that aliens don't exist. Doesn't mean that ghosts don't exist. I just don't think that we are worthy enough or important enough, especially with how we're handling this super bug virus, of understanding the technology or the existence. Because if we panic as we have with this pandemic, how are we going to react with aliens?
We'd have some people that say, you know, they're not real while they're standing in front of them. And then
you're also going to have people saying, that really happened to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where are they going to go? And that's what Tessa is about.
So, I mean, I think basically you've kind of cleared your answer the question to where you believe the experience is real, is truth. But yeah, you're still not 100% sold on exactly what is happening.
Yes, I believe something is happening. I do not believe entirely that the one race of beings or aliens, I don't believe that one phenomenon is the answer for all of it. I believe that it's all connected somehow, if not an effect, like the paranormal activity could be a telepathic effect after being abducted. So that there are some cases so that's another thing too, is when I ask people to report, I say, report your most significant case, and then report all the other cases you think about, you know, these index events, these traumas, these things in your life. And then I investigate the cases separately, but I put them in a pile of the individual. And when I'm done all the cases for that person, that case file, then I start to look at it and be like, whoa, here's a timeline. Weird. You know, they had an alien, a UFO sighting at 2. Then all of a sudden at 4, there was a ghost, you know, at 8, you know, so I started to timeline all these paranormal, all these events in their life. And we kind of have this multiple experience timeline, and I'm able to look at it and be like, maybe, okay. So actually, if we go a little bit further, say they didn't see nothing, and then they had no psychic ability, but then there was a sighting happened, and then all of a sudden they have this paranormal activity just a little further in their life. So I might be able to suggest, because that's happened multiple times in my research, that whatever is happening through this alleged abduction is enabling or activating these psychic events or visitations. So they may not, the paranormal and UFO worlds being split, they are different, but we need to understand them together and figure out which came first, the chicken or the egg. And how they work with each other, because there's data in the paranormal world that makes sense that applies to the UFO world, and there's data in the UFO world that makes sense in the paranormal world. But I am housing information to try and present it as a union, as a combined effort. If I mentioned in the past at a UFO strict conference, I mentioned the word ghost, I get, you know, no one talks to me for the rest of the day. I go to a paranormal conference and I talk about ghosts, and then I'd be like, you know what? I saw a UFO once, and then all of a sudden everybody's loving it. So there's actual proven that it's rooted, you know, this paranormal racism. You know,
who let the loser ghost believer in? I can't believe you let him back in here, this crackpot.
It exists though. And like, I've experienced it. It's like, holy crap. Like, okay, sorry.
That's hilarious. Okay.
That was a joke.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, man. This is the Abracadam podcast. So we got to get in with every episode, brother. We ask the tough questions. Okay.
So we haven't asked the tough question yet. Those are all tough so far. All right. Let's go.
This is a tough one, man. So, hey, better get ready. Here we go. Okay. All right. Tough question. If you were at a party playing on a slip and slide,
okay,
doing jello shots off the back of a tortoise,
okay,
you could only invite two guests. And out of these guests, you either get Scully and Mulder from the X-Files or Agent J and Agent K from Men in Black. Who do you pick? Who are you partying with?
Probably more than likely would go with X-Files for sure.
X-Files.
And Mulder. I grew up with them. Like, you know, I'm sure as every ufologist, you know, was born, birthed with that out of the womb. But
you got a thing for Scully? Huh?
What's that?
Would you got a thing for Scully? Scully, yeah. over Tommy Jones? What, man?
Well, I won't deny that. No, I was young then.
All right, dude, that's a good, honest answer. Now, let me ask you this. And keep in mind, the tortoise may or may not be an alien.
Well, that changes my question then, or my answer. You didn't give me all the evidence.
Well, the good thing about Agent J and Agent K, whatever you do at that party, Ryan, they can make you forget about it. And you don't.
That's right.
So you.
That's absolutely right. So I wanted to remember it.
First of all, man, this has been great. This has been super interesting. I think our listeners are going to love this episode.
This is there great. Thank you so much.
If anyone had a story or wanted to reach out to you, or how can they follow you?
So the best way to get a hold of us is if you go to the website, www.tessacan.org. So TESACAN.ORG. Everything is on the website. I think it's under the data section. If you want the reporting system, there is an app that you can download. It'll go right to your phone. Right now it's for Android. We're still fighting with Apple. It goes right to your phone. And then as soon as something happens, you open the app and you just report it as soon as it happens. And then you get it documented and all that other stuff too. There's lots of resources on there. Our social media is on there. We have a YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/the Experiencer Support Association. We have a podcast. And if you're interested, I'd love to have you on. You know, we're always looking for guests. And I can list a bunch of silly questions to return the favor here. And it's called Beyond the Tinfoil Hat. We're into season 3. It starts this Thursday. So we'll be probably 4 episodes in when you're hearing this. It's basically a live cast on Facebook and YouTube. You chime in, you ask questions, we talk live on the spot. We get occasional guests here and there. And, then we also head over to their Patreon. So Patreon, we do a bunch of bonus content, dive into investigations and things like that. I do recommend you becoming a Patreon member. It's only $7 a month. But with that, you literally become a shareholder, and you get to dictate exactly the type of content that you want us to put out on the entertainment side. But basically, your funding is what allows us to do what we're doing to help the other people, because those who are experiencing the phenomena do not get charged for the investigation because they're suffering enough. But we do appreciate donations from that. And we have a store called theparanormalhanger.com. So you can purchase some merchandise there. You can also donate to the cause there as well. And we have a bunch of plethora of Facebook pages for different things. So I'll just list them off real quick. You can find them on the website. But apart from that, we have what's called Interstellar, which is the Academy of Ufology and Paranormal Studies. So between now and I'm going to say June, we're developing the training academy to actually teach individuals how to investigate the phenomenon so that way we get better data. And if you're a MUFON investigator, we're going to teach you how to do what you do better so that way you can be better. Not that you're inadequate. It's just you don't have any help. I know I was poking fun earlier tonight, but it's not your fault. I've acknowledged it. I'm a seasoned investigator. I'm going to teach you some things that may to help you be better. And we move forward with that. We also have a plan for an expo in Canada, in Collingwood, October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, 2021, pending COVID. If COVID isn't gone, it will be virtual. Stick around for that. And what's the last thing? Well, yeah, for you investigators and researchers out there that do what I do, I want to thank you all for your service. We do have a new project, which is called Project Babel. So if you go to the website and you search for Project Babel, what that'll do, that'll give you a form where you'll be able to submit your best case to us. I, as well as the other members on the evidence review board, will work with you to make sure that the evidence that you have is sound and proper, and then we help you make that case better. And then if, through that, we then put it on our virtual database where other people can see it. You'll get credit for it. You'll get validated through us, all this other stuff. And the whole idea, is on this virtual map, is it becomes a resource for any investigator. Go to our website, scan the map, look for the phenomenon, click on it, and you have a visual picture and the description of the research of everything that has happened. So that way you can scan real quickly and find something that matches to what you're doing, so you can do a quick compare and contrast. That is a database that we're developing. I'm also going to have my declassified documents on there from Canada and all that other stuff. So it's going to be a really good resource for investigators. Now, here's the other thing. If you submit some evidence through Babel and it gets to the evidence and review board and I don't have to critique anything, I mean, you've taught us something that I haven't learned, you can bet your ass that I'm going to be emailing you and asking you to be part of the team. So, you know, this is also our recruit, how we recruit too, because it's like, we want the best of the best. We don't want to be a part of everything. We just want, you know, less is more, but we want aces in places. And everybody can look at us as the next level. Everyone can do their own investigation. If you want validation that your work is being done and it means something, then you report it to us and we'll help you. We'll help you showcase your work. So if you're amateur, you're just starting out, it doesn't matter. If you caught something on tape, it doesn't matter what your background is. And I'll help you as long as it's a piece of a good solid evidence. I will do whatever I can to give you the opportunity to be recognized for your service.
This is awesome. Ryan, Stacy, this was a very interesting conversation, man. And I can't wait to have some more with you.
This is great. I've been sitting on this information for a while. This is the first time I've talked about a lot of these things. So you're hearing it first here. And if you don't see me ever again, then I shouldn't have said these things.
Awesome. Well, Ryan, we definitely will see you again, man. And once again, man, thanks so much for coming on the Abracadabra.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that does it for this episode of the Abracadabra podcast. It was a lengthy interview, but it was a very interesting interview. Ryan Stacy is a very interesting guy, like I said. I hope you guys enjoyed it. It's not every day you get to hear this stuff, so, I can't wait maybe to have Ryan back on again sometime. I actually did his podcast, which I highly recommend checking that out, Beyond the Tinfoil Hat. So definitely check that out. I had a good time on there, and I hope to be back on his sometime. I do want to announce February 5th, I will be doing a live show in Kingsport, Tennessee at the Gypsy Cider Co. Please come out if you live in that area. Come see my show. It's going to be safe, social distancing. Come out and have a good damn time. If you have not done so yet, be sure to follow or to subscribe to the Abracadabra podcast. And check us out on Facebook at the Abracadabra Podcast. And give me a follow on Instagram at SuperMagicBoy. And like always, Abracadamits, thank you for listening. Abracadabra.